Well, our theme for in a nutshell today is the grace of giving. Our theme for today is the grace of giving, which in a nutshell, at least for me, is the privilege of giving to others, or the gift that and the joy that we receive when we give to others. So it's a gift that we are given that we are able to give to others. Now, in recent months, Melita and I have had two such joyful experiences that have resulted from being able to give gifts to others. First was when I travelled to Africa. And let me say that when I travelled to Africa, that I received financial gifts from people here and further afield as they themselves expressed the joy or the grace of giving in their own lives. In fact, this meant that my trip to Africa didn't have a huge impact on me financially at all. In fact, it enabled me to in turn exercise this same grace of giving that had been given to me, so I could make a donation to Anglican Aid so that at least one Tanzanian bishop or archbishop could attend GAFCON. But I also expressed the grace of giving to my friends in Tanzania, my hosts, Jeff and Martha Boy. Because I left Australia, and many of you heard about the maple essence, the boys had given me a list of things that they wanted that were either too expensive to buy in Arusha or not easily obtainable, or they just aren't the same there. Now, Jeff and Martha were expecting to pay me for these items, and they easily could have, but the joy that I received from my act of giving these to them was priceless, for I've never seen someone so happy to be given a packet or two packets of clothes pegs. So basil seeds, Earl Grey tea, fitted sheets, brown sugar, and a host of other things. My second example, and almost list this out, but it's only one paragraph, it came out of my in-laws' grace of giving. Now, my in-laws aren't followers of Jesus, but recently they gave us, out of their generosity, their old car, so Melita drove it in today. But this meant that we now had three cars, and we needed to get rid of one, and so we offered it to a friend of ours for $2. And whilst we had no idea what was going on for her, her response was, this was an answer to prayer. And it's a combination of things that were going on for her that was very timely at that moment that we didn't know about. Now, it's wonderful, isn't it, when we receive gracious gifts from others. But also it's wonderful when we have the ability to pass this same grace onto others. It fills us with joy. The other guys who came and visited their missionary friends, they also brought them gifts. And they experience that same experience. But that is the Great Commission as well, isn't it? So it's not just financial, it's giving in all that we have. Because somebody's presented the gospel of salvation to us and we've received it, we recognise this gift as for what it really is. And then that then motivates us to want to share this same gift with everyone else. At least it should, because that's the grace of giving. Taking from what we have received and passing it on to others. Well, over the next 3 weeks, we're taking a look at giving. It comes up in the readings chosen from 2 Corinthians, so that's the context, and that's why we're talking about it. But we're looking particularly at the giving of money. And yet the money that Paul speaks about here in 2 Corinthians, that he is collecting from the churches in Macedonia and Achaia, in no way was to benefit the people who gave it. So it was giving it away. Rather, Paul was collecting money for the Christians in Jerusalem or Judea who are experiencing severe financial difficulty. So then why were the Christians in Jerusalem struggling financially? Well, firstly, when we read the first few chapters of Acts, we see that the church in Jerusalem shared everything that they had. So when there was a need, one person would sell a field and share the proceeds with the rest of the church. And we see that like with Barnabas, son of encouragement. Now, I don't know how long this went on for, but eventually the congregation in Jerusalem would have run out of fields to sell. On top of this, at least I seem to recall, ultimately the Romans confiscated their property anyway. So it was probably good in hindsight that that happened. So that's the first reason why they were poor. They were giving up their land, their possessions. Now, the second reason why they were poor was because, as I pointed out last week, a famine had spread throughout the entire Roman world. Acts chapter 11, verse 27. Now, if that wasn't enough to cope with, then consider this. When a Jew chose to become a Christian, not only did the Romans persecute them, but their own people put pressure and persecution on them as well, both physically and financially. Imagine if you owned a business, say, if you're a mechanic fixing up cars, because they didn't have them then, but you know what I mean. Most of your Jewish contacts would have then boycotted you. So many businesses may have become unviable, and on top of that, other Jewish Christians may have lost their family inheritance as a result of their decision to follow Jesus. So it was when the famine hit that the Christians in Jerusalem probably needed more help than anyone else. And so it was that those who first shared God's grace with the world now needed to be shown God's grace by the world in their time of need. And that was the thing that happened. For we read in Acts that when Paul and Barnabas had completed their first missionary journey, they reported back firstly to Antioch, their sending church, a bit like the Gillams, what they're doing this week on Wednesday. And then the church in Antioch gave them another task to do, to carry some money that they'd collected for the poor in Jerusalem. Let me read to you the passage from Acts 11, 29. The believers in Antioch decided to send relief to the brothers and sisters in Judea, everyone giving as much as they could. This they did, entrusting their gifts to Barnabas and Saul to take to the elders of the church in Jerusalem. Now, as we know, Paul and Barnabas didn't remain in Jerusalem very long, or even in Antioch for that matter. Rather, they decided to set out with the blessing of the apostles in Jerusalem on a second missionary journey. Now, Luke tells us that in sending them out, Peter, James and John encouraged Paul and Barnabas to continue their work of evangelising the Gentiles. But also we get another part of it from Galatians 2 verse 10, that they are also encouraged to keep on helping the poor. Now on this, Philip Hughes believes that what the apostles meant by this was that Paul and Barnabas were to continue to remember the Christian poor in Jerusalem or Judea, meaning that they should pray for them certainly, but also try to assist them financially as the church in Antioch had just done. Now, Paul in particular was keen to see this happen. Thus, in preparing for his visit to Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul gave instructions about how he planned to collect money from them so that it could then be given as a gift to the Christians in Jerusalem. But of course, from the time when Paul had written that first letter and made that request, there'd been all those tensions between himself and the Christians in Corinth and the uncertainty in his relationship with them. But as we've seen so far in the letter, Paul has now clarified those uncertainties. And so now Paul decides to discuss the matter of the financial gifts. So that's the background to this passage, but it's also the background to our next 2 weeks as well. So with these things in mind, let's now look at the reading set for today. In today's passage, Paul begins by writing to the Corinthians about the example of giving that had been set by the Christians in Macedonia. And their example should be a challenge to us. For the Macedonians weren't rich like we are, and they weren't rich like the Christians who were living in Corinth. Rather, Paul describes the Macedonians as being extremely poor and oppressed. Now, we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that not all the Christians who were living in Corinth were rich, but still, as compared to the Macedonian Christians, we and they are far better off financially. So then let's take a look at the example set by the Macedonians. Paul writes, "Brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches, the grace, the generosity, the gift that he's given to them. For in the midst of a severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord." Now, of course, we don't know how much the money the Macedonians actually gave to the church in Jerusalem, but we do know that despite their own suffering and despite their own poverty, that they freely gave above and beyond their means. You see, they gave the widow's mite that we heard about in our reading from Mark, and in doing this, they by far exceeded Paul's expectations of them. But to tell you the truth, it's often the most poor among us who are the most generous. As such, Hughes wrote, "The most genuine grace is frequently displayed by those who have the least to give." And so Christian giving is estimating not in terms of quantity, but in terms of sacrifice, in terms of what does it cost you. Now, being missionaries ourselves, this is what we saw when we worked for BCA, for we were humbled, particularly at Christmas time, of how the poor in Sydney and the western suburbs gave to us, particularly compared to what others gave us from the North Shore and from the Shire. Now, the Macedonians were so poor that they could have been excused from giving. But what we read in verse 4, quoting from the English Standard Version, is that they begged us. They begged us earnestly for the favour, for the grace, for the privilege of taking part in the relief of the saints in Jerusalem. It's a challenge for us, isn't it? Wasn't even put on them, but they begged for the opportunity to be involved in this gift of grace. For the Macedonians had truly come to understand the words of Jesus when he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, it's from this verse, verse 4, that our theme for today comes, but also from a bit later, somewhere between 7 to 9. It's a repeat of the phrase. For the grace of giving is recognising the privilege and the gift to us of being able to give to God's people and being able to give to God's work in places where help's needed. For this is what it means to be charitable. For in case you don't know, and I didn't really realise this till this week, our English word charity comes from the Greek word charis, which means grace. And so giving to charity is giving out that comes from our grace, grace that's been given to us, the gift of giving. Well, so far we've looked at the example that the Macedonians, the poor, set for the rich in Corinth and for people like us. But it's at this point that I want to reiterate a clear distinction that I've already made that you may have missed. For some people say that charity begins at home. Maybe there's truth in that. But the giving, the charity that Paul described here, cannot be compared to the money that we give to, say, the work of our church. For the money that we give to the work of this church is to meet the budget that we as a church have agreed on at our AGM. For our parish budget is made up of those expenses that we as a parish agreed upon that we need. And so in agreeing to this budget, we're then obligated to either meet that budget or, if we can't, to reduce our expenses. That's how life works with parish budgets and AGMs. That's their purposes. We go, we make a decision in the sight of God, then we seek to carry out that decision. If we can't, then we need to do something about it. But the money spoken of by Paul here is not money that was to directly benefit, at least financially, the Christians in Corinth. For this money was more like the money that we give to our linked missionaries or to parishes or to others who are struggling. Like, say, when a parish in Armidale Diocese is in a long-term drought. So that we help them to provide ministry to people who can't afford to have it. That's what's being spoken about here. So there is a difference between the money that was being collected by Paul here and the money that we give towards our parish budget. But still, there are principles in these verses that can be used for how we give to outside of ourselves, but also how we give to the work within our own church. Now, so far, these principles have included, firstly, giving. No matter how poor we are. And so if you're living a lifestyle that doesn't allow you to give to your local church or beyond, then maybe you need to take a look at your lifestyle Or maybe we as a parish need to take a look at our lifestyle so that we're not trying to live above our means. We're about, what are we, 12, 14 grand behind budgeting giving, I think, this year. It's not so bad because it's offset by a few things, but we're still about 6 to 8 grand behind. That money comes from nowhere else but here. And so at the end of the year, what happens? So we need to consider that as we're approaching the end of this year. Secondly, and this is one of the most key teachings on giving throughout the New Testament, we're to be generous in our giving. Now, Michael should be worried at this point, but he's not looking. But I'm not going to pick up this today because Michael will be looking at this in 2 weeks' time. Finally, we should consider giving beyond our ability. Giving beyond our ability. Giving beyond what we can give. Seems crazy, doesn't it? But let me say that for the whole time that we worked, Melita and I worked in Western Australia, we gave beyond our ability. For we knew that if we didn't, that our work would come to an end. But through giving beyond our ability, what happens? We saw God working in miraculous ways to provide for all our needs. And whilst my neighbour on huge amounts of money couldn't afford a PlayStation 2, I went out and bought one. I still don't know how we survived, but it was crazy. God provided. So when we are generous, when we give beyond our ability, we often see God at work. Because that's what God does in our lives, doesn't he? When we can do nothing, he steps in. And so it was a blessed time for us. And many, I know, when you speak to clergy, they think back to the times when they went through college. They didn't get Aus-study back then, many of the guys here. And it was such a difficult time that God provided miraculously so that they could go without work for that 3 to 4 years. Many of them had to be single at that time because they weren't allowed to be married. But that's still the case today, even with government assistance. Now, with these things in mind, Paul now turns his attention on the Corinthians, looking at how they should follow the example of the Macedonians and give. For if, verse 7, as Paul had already pointed out earlier in his letter, they excelled in everything, in faith, speech, knowledge, earnestness, and in love, or in the love that Paul had shown towards them, so they should in turn excel in the grace of giving as well, in their charity towards the Christians in Jerusalem. He places it straight on them. As Colin Cruz wrote about this, and as we read in James, true love never leaves us content to just talk. It has to be expressed in acts of concern. And so for the Corinthians, this had to be expressed in giving, giving to help their brothers in Jerusalem. But note, verse 8, that this wasn't something that Paul was commanding the Christians to do. For none of us can command and control how much a person chooses to give to the Lord's work. Ultimately, and Les will be looking between you, that's between you and God. God does command you, but it's still between you and God. And yet, interestingly, Paul used their giving to test their sincerity. Sounds a bit odd, that, doesn't it? But look at Jesus. What was Jesus doing in the temple? He was sitting beside the money box and watching what everyone put in. Odd, isn't it? And he saw what the rich gave, a couple hundred bucks. He saw this widow give her mite, a couple of copper coins. Then he made his comment, didn't he? She gave all that she had to live on, so she was commended. And that's sort of what Paul's doing. I want to test your sincerity by, firstly, the sincerity of the giving of the Macedonians, but more importantly, by the giving of Jesus. What Jesus has given to you. That's the test. How much Jesus has given you. For this, the context is, seems to be, the earnestness of Jesus giving, verse 9. So I think ultimately Paul was wanting to compare the Corinthians with Jesus Christ himself, because Jesus is our ultimate example of what it means to be gracious in our giving. That's who we look to. He's the one who we've received from. He's the one who we've received all things from, including money, wealth, gifts, talents. And but he expects us to share what we have received with others. For whilst he was rich, wrote Paul, Jesus came down from heaven and became poor. So he gave up his divinity to become fully human and fully divine. But Jesus didn't then use his connections to make himself rich on earth, did he? Rather, Jesus was born into a poor family. He lived a meagre life, so that when he died, all that belonged to him were the clothes on his back. But through his poverty, Jesus, writes Paul, has made us rich. For it's through Jesus becoming poor that we have become the children of God and co-heirs with Jesus of salvation and everything that is his. And so Jesus is our example for the grace of giving. And so it's to his example that we're to compare ourselves. In fact, it was to his example that the Macedonians looked when they gave so generously. And so when we look at giving, we first need to look at the absolute selflessness and generosity of Jesus in giving up his own life in order that he might save ours. Well, that's all I have to say on these verses today, but hopefully I've done the groundwork for the next 2 weeks as we continue to look at, firstly, how to decide what we're to give, and secondly, at how we are to give. But the lesson for us today on giving is that it is a privilege and a joy that we've received God's grace towards us. And it's a privilege and a joy to then be able to share that grace with others, so that we see how God is at work in our lives and in the lives of those around us for the sake of his glory. Amen.